Well, if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I usually have some points on the PowerPoint, but please excuse me that we don't have that this morning. We've been working our way through this book. And we come really to the last little section this morning, from verse 5 through to the end, as we have worked our way through this letter. And in many ways, this morning, the title of this message is that we are to be mature and steadfast in the faith. And surely that is an appropriate message for us today as we gather on this particular day. The Lord, of course, knew whenever I started this series, the events of these past few days, none of us knew. And so I do believe that there is an appropriate word here, as always, for us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 12. We'll capture it just for a moment. It says, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." Stand fast in it. And the message this morning in many ways is that we stand fast in the grace of God. It is the only place that we can stand. When life becomes very difficult, where else can we stand? We will discover it to be sinking sand. We will discover it to be without any substance or without any foundation. The context of this little passage, and I do just want to take a moment to say something about the context. As I say, this section from verse 5 through to the end, Peter has spoken about leadership in the church. Peter has spoken of what it means to be a leader within the local church. And then he goes on in verses 5 through 7 to simply say, be humble, be clothed with humility. He specifically addresses some of the younger men in the church. And yet this message goes out to all of us, men and women, young and old. And the principle here is that we are to clothe ourselves with humility. Verse 6, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due course. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." There's lots and lots of things that we could say about this this morning. What does it mean to be humble? Well, it obviously means not exalting ourselves. We're not to be arrogant and proud people. But sometimes people can swing to the other extreme in life and they denigrate themselves in an inappropriate manner. To be humble doesn't mean to go around despising yourself. This is not a Christian position. While we are not worthy of the grace of God, we are not worthless. We have been created in the image of God. And God sent his Son to Calvary's tree to die for such as us. And I do ask you this morning, are you a humble person? Are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, are you a humble Christian? Or is there a strong streak of pride and arrogance still running through you or me? Well, we need to cast those things to the side. As somebody once said, in the Christian life, the way up is down. It's always the way. The way up is down. The way to advance spiritually, young person, older person, is not to push ourselves forward, but to humble ourselves before God, to seek His grace. And you will find, as I will find, as all of us will find, that as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that God will work in and through us. We're to cast all pride to the side. We need to humble ourselves. You know, it's interesting that Peter talks about anxiety here in the context of pride and humility. It's true that sometimes pride can add to our anxiety. We're not prepared to hand something over to God. We'll work through this in our own strength. That's pride. And we need to let go of all of that. And humble ourselves. And say, Lord, I need you desperately. And it's only actually as we do that, that we will discover God's hand at work in and through us. Be humble. But be watchful as well. Peter reminds these believers that there is an evil one. Not only are we surrounded in the world by evil, that's pretty obvious, but there is an evil one. We do believe in personified evil. We do believe that there is a devil. Not many people seem to believe that nowadays in our nation. You get laughed off the stage if you talk about that sort of thing. But we believe in the Christian church that whilst there is a God in heaven, there is also a devil seeking to pull down and destroy and undermine the work of the kingdom. And I think it was C.S. Lewis who famously once said, neither talk much about the devil, but do not go to the other extreme where you completely forget about the devil. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's interesting, and I'm not spending much time in this morning, but do notice what it says, verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. And Peter describes the devil literally as the devil, but he also describes him as an enemy. And he also describes him in terms of being a roaring lion, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. And what are we to do? Well, very simply, Peter says here, you must resist him. Resist him, brother and sister. Stand firm in the faith. I wonder, in light of what has happened in recent days, young people, has the devil been having a go at you? Has the devil been whispering in your ear, God is not good? Why do you believe such a thing? Has the devil been at work? That's the devil. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. God is good. And one of the earliest temptations that was in the Garden of Eden was to question the goodness of God. And the devil has been at it ever since. Young people, resist him. Stand firm in the faith in these difficult days. There is a devil. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to undermine your faith. He wants to sow seeds of lies in your young faith. He doesn't care about you. He wants to destroy you. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith. And the other significant thing that we have in this passage is not only be humble, not only be watchful, but be secure. And I think this is the point that becomes so poignant on this particular morning. Look what it says in verse 10. And the God of all grace, what a wonderful phrase, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. And then, as I've already indicated at the start, the same theme is picked up in verse 12, where Peter says, stand firm in the grace of God. Be secure. How can we be secure today? With all that life brings and all the ups and downs and tragedies of life, how can we be secure today? Only in the grace of God. Only in the Lord Jesus Christ can we be secure. And you will know from the studies that we've been having in this book that one of the things that was happening to these Christians to whom Peter was writing was that they were going through real tough times, difficult times. Many of them would literally be led to their death a short time after, under the persecution of the Emperor Nero. And God's word, you see, young folk and older folk, God's word always prepares us for the difficulties that are coming. And God has been preparing us, even though we didn't realize it, over these last weeks. As we've thought about the sufferings of life, God has actually been preparing us for this weekend. And let me just maybe try and illustrate a wee bit of the wonderful security that we can have in the grace of God, and only in the grace of God, and through an experience of that grace as we repent and believe the gospel. Understand that. Of course, you all understand that, I hope. We're not talking about some vague holding on to the grace of God. We're talking here about the need for people to come personally and definitely and surrender their life to Christ as the only hope for life and eternity. And when they do that, there is a security, come what may. And you know, that security has been borne out over these past days. And it was borne out on Thursday, the 30th of July 2015, a day which will be etched on some of these people's minds until the day they die, with the shocking events which I'll not go into, with the collapse of Alex Steadham in Christchurch Hall, and despite the best efforts of local paramedics and doctor and the amazing efforts of 12 doctors in Newry, his time had come to an end. Life is very uncertain. And it has been a shock. I don't want to go over all of that, but it has been deeply shocking. The precise details and circumstances of what happened in a moment in the hall in Christchurch. One moment a chap is standing there chatting, and the next moment he's collapsed and he's leaving this world. And the precise details and circumstances of all of that we don't go into today, in one sense, are very unusual. What happened on Thursday was a very unusual thing in many, many ways. But the fact of what happened is not unusual. People die. Life is very uncertain. And as we shared, and as I shared on Thursday evening at the memorial service over in Mourne, and it was very poignant, because here we were gathered for the memorial service, and there were people there from Mourne and from here, and people from Addie Call and people from Kitty's Road, the communities that this young lad had been serving in just hours before. And here was a team from America, from Bethlehem Baptist, where up until very recently, John Piper was the pastor. And I shared with them the thought that came into my heart on Thursday afternoon Some of you will know that John Piper has written many books. One of them is called Don't Waste Your Life. And he tells a very powerful little story at the beginning of that book. The house in which he grew up as a little boy, over the kitchen sink, there was a plaque. And it said this: only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And beside that little plaque, there was a little picture of a couple of trees and a little hill and a little path going up over the hill. And John Piper used to look at that as a little boy and say, I wonder where the path of life will take me. And then he would look at the plaque. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And folks, I want to say to you this morning, as your pastor, life is very uncertain. The scriptures say, boast not about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring forth. And sometimes I know the way we behave in life, we say, yeah, I know about that, but I'll be all right. Thursday, the 30th of July, 2015, was a very, very shocking and dramatic example of the fact that you don't know about it. And if I could be very, very dramatic and say this, there's not one person here today can guarantee that you'll go to your bed tonight. Not one of you. Life is very, very uncertain. And you say, well, what am I to do? How can I be sure? How can I be secure? How can I be ready? Well, I say to you, look to Christ. Because life is only secure in Christ. Not in religion. Not in Presbyterianism. Not in any ism. Not in good works. Not in trying your best. But through repenting and believing the gospel of Christ, you are secure. And folks, as I try to wrap this up, here is the truth of the matter. Across the Atlantic Ocean in Minneapolis, there is a family heartbroken, and our hearts go out to them. But you know what? In the midst of their heartbreak, they have a quiet assurance that one day they will see their boy again. Why? Because he was secure in Christ. And folks, I want you to think deeply this morning. And God forbid that it would happen. If it was your call tomorrow, would your family have the quiet assurance he's gone to be with God? I plead with you. Life is very uncertain. And on top of all the other tragedy that has happened in this community and the sadness and the death, I do believe with all my heart that God speaks again into this community. And I do believe that there are people here this morning, and God is speaking and God is saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do not harden your heart. If you harden your heart, where are you going? You're lost. Do not harden your heart. I plead with you. And so Peter says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you, and make you strong and firm and steadfast. Stand firm and secure in Christ this morning, folks. And my last word is this, that if you are a believer and you have people in your family or friends and they're being, shall we say, careless about the things of God, pray that God will give you an opportunity to speak to them. It's not easy to do that. And simply say to them, look, life is very uncertain. You need to be ready when the call comes, because you don't know when that call will come. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. We're going to pray, going to ask the singers as we pray just to come to the front. Father, we realize that these are difficult days, but we believe that you speak in the midst of sadness. And again, Lord, we just cry unto you for those whose hearts are heavy in our community here and over in Minneapolis. We ask, Lord, now that as we sing of your shepherd love, that you will continue to speak by your Holy Spirit into our hearts. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.